Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori.
And today we're just doing a quick episode, actually, sort of on the heels of the episode that we released last week about ACBC counseling, which stands for what, Lori?
Association of Certified Biblical Counselors.
I literally can never get that right. Like, I'm always like accredited, and then I don't
American. No, none of
those. And then I don't have anywhere else to go with it, and I'm like... Okay, so ACBC, so the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. Look at me go.
Good job.
So last week, hopefully you listened to that episode. If you didn't, please, 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 please go back and listen to it.
It's so important.
Yeah, we dive into these horrific foundations of counseling. This organization is global. They literally are across the world teaching lay people and pastors to be counselors. And their fundamentals and their foundations on trauma and on sexual abuse are just
warped.
Yeah. I mean, so, so messed up. So if you didn't listen to that episode, please go back and listen to it. Today, though, we actually just want to talk quickly about my own experience with an ACBC counselor, which, to be honest with you, at the time of this experience, I don't think I even knew it wasn't even called that. It was called the nuthetic counseling. Mm-hmm.
NAC, I think, was the acronym.
Yeah. So, now that has turned into the ACBC counseling. But anyways, so in seventh grade, I disclosed to a teacher that my father was sexually abusing me. Active, ongoing, sexually abusing me. And the teacher and the school did exactly nothing. Instead, they called my parents and had them come in for a meeting. So if you haven't heard escape attempt episode number one, again, go back and listen. But high level, the school did not call CPS, did not call the authorities. Instead, they called my parents, the people who I was saying were abusing me, into the school to basically confront them and to meet with them. And like, I don't even have like a rational...
And then acted surprised when you recanted.
Right, right. So now I'm face to face with my abuser, and I basically freak out. I'm seventh grade, 12 years old, and I'm like, it's not my dad, it's my uncle, which was also true. My uncle was someone who also abused me and trafficked me, so I kind of just spun on my heels and yeah. Anyways, after that disclosure, my mom's brother-in-law, so my mom's sister, Sharon Backus, was a first grade teacher at the Christian school that I went to, which is Christian Central Academy in Williamsville, New York, for those interested. Sharon Backus was my aunt, my mom's sister. She was a first grade teacher at the school at the time. And her husband, Kevin Backus, is the pastor of Bible Presbyterian Church on Grand Island. Don't lose me here, because I know this is getting complicated. Okay, so Kevin Backus is someone who not only teaches ACBC counseling. He is...
At seminaries.
Yep, he goes across the country, across the globe to different seminaries, teaching the foundations and the skills and the training in ACBC counseling. But he also practices it himself. So I disclose at CCA... They do nothing. They say that I need to have mandatory counseling. And Kevin Backus swoops in to say, don't worry, I have a referral for you. So, again, we've mentioned this before, but the referral for biblical counseling was in Canada.
Which makes no sense. Which makes no rational sense, except.
Right. Except that there was a lot of things that were going on behind the scenes. So my mom would transport me across the border to go to this counseling experience.
So I feel like maybe we need to explain to people who don't understand that Buffalo and where we live like a stone's throw from the border.
That's true. I didn't think about that. So we live...
almost Niagara Falls.
Yeah. We live right between... So I grew up on Grand Island, which is an island literally in the middle of the Niagara River. Yeah. So it's... You literally could swim across the river and be in Canada. So, yeah, it was like 20, 30 minutes away, yeah. Probably. We're not talking about like a 3-hour trek to the border. But still.
Yeah, I mean it's odd. So shady. I mean, you can get all kinds of biblical. There's literally a Christian counseling ministry right here in our area.
Right.
So.
Right. But Kevin Backus was the one making the referral. So.
To looking for a specific ACBC counselor.
Right. And here's why. Like, again, if you listen to that episode, you understand why they would want this specific type of counselor. Because essentially, it kept me stuck, which is always like, look at us, we're getting biblical counseling for her, she's so damaged, and she's the problem, but don't worry, we're the parents of the year, we're getting biblical counseling for her, and the biblical counselor says, it's your fault, you need to forgive.
Right? Okay, well, can you talk about what the biblical counselor said?
I will. I'm just saying, I was trying to high level.
Okay, that's a high level. Okay.
And we're done.
I was like, wow, that is a short episode.
No.
Okay, folks, we're working without an outline today. If you can't, I'm sure you all are starting to notice the difference.
Also are like an hour, woo! How many hours of doing stuff like this today.
Yeah. So
bear with us. Okay, so my mother would take me across the border to Canada. And we would go see this woman. It was literally in a crisis pregnancy center. So if you're Canadian and you might know of this place, please let us know. Because I would super love to be able to get the name of it just for my own records. But it was in like an upper and lower house situation. It was a crisis pregnancy center where they also offered this specific type of biblical counseling. When you went into the house, you would go down this like weird set of stairs, like into the basement, and there was all these like baby items everywhere. Like, just, I don't even know. They were like giving away baby items, maybe. And I would meet with one woman, and my mother would meet with another woman. The woman was probably, I don't know, age is tough for me like to determine. Like at that time, like,
you were a kid.
Yeah. So I don't 12. Know. She was older, I guess. Probably my mom's age, maybe a little older. And she would basically sit me down and say that she was also a victim of sexual abuse, but that she now, at this time in the present, she would at that point have dinner with her abuser because she had forgiven him. And so now she could be back in relationship with him and be like completely, it never happened, because she had forgiven him. And the goal in telling me that really was, so that's the thing. That's the thing you need to do. You need to forgive, and then everything can just go back to normal, essentially.
So if you listened or go back and listen to the episode about ACBC, you'll hear that that is a fundamental teaching of ACBC counseling and their approach to abuse, is that it is the obligation of the wounded to forgive, and that forgive means forget it happened. You don't speak of it. You don't think of it. You don't speak of it to the offender. You don't speak of it to anyone else. So right. That was the message.
Right.
Forgive and forget.
The message was also, the onus is on you, right? The message was, it's your responsibility to do the work and to fix yourself and to get better and to forgive so that everybody else around you is able to now move on. And the message was, why are you such a horrible human being for lying about your father? So that was also an element. Mm. Because at this point, I had recanted my statement and said that it was my uncle, which also it was also true, right? But yeah. So yes, the emphasis was on forgiving my uncle so that my family could go back to normal. But it was also, why are you a sick and horrible human being at 12 years old? And why would you have lied about your father? Not, I mean, okay, so let's just pull this apart, right? So, Lori, if a 12-year-old comes into your office, they had disclosed abuse by their father, then they recanted, said it was their uncle. What's going to be your response?
I'm going to be really certain that I need to create a safe space for that child to be able to tell me whatever it is they need to tell me. And I'm going to open the conversation of like, hey, sometimes I know it can be really hard to share tough things. And so I just want you to know that this is a space where all the hard things can be shared and we will figure it out together how to proceed. And I know it's pretty overwhelming. The spot you're in right now can be pretty overwhelming. And I'm here to help you sort that out.
Right. So not it's your fault. Why are you a horrible human being?
Not that.
So that was the message to me as a 12-year-old. And again, it creates another box. So it's basically like, okay, put it away. I forget. I promise I won't ever bring it up ever again, because that's the goal, right? Then on top of that, of the message of the biblical counseling to forgive and forget, never bring it up, never think of it, or else I'm sinning, there would be an added layer of usually a trafficking situation, a situation in which my mother would drop me off someplace in that general vicinity in Canada, and there would be a buyer, you know, a man to waiting to sexually abuse me, and reinforce that idea of you are the one that's sinning. You are the problem here. You were created for this. God, you know, designed you for this. And so, yeah, that is why this is happening to you.
So I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to breathe in that statement, because you said it very casually. But what you're saying is that the face of it, what the world saw, was that your mother was taking you to biblical counseling to recover and heal from abuse by her brother-in-law. And in fact, what was happening is you were getting told that you should forgive and forget. And how could you say that thing about your father? Oh, and then she was taking you to a place where you were sexually assaulted.
Yep.
That's horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is how I ended up silent and stuck, because there was no way out. I had already tried and it failed. And now the messages were so intense and so layered on so thick that there was the only option was to just like lay down and die, basically just take it, because what else was I going to do? I had already, and I have grown-ups in my life like who are not abusers necessarily, like reinforcing that, right? I have this biblical counselor sitting in front of me telling me you're the one that's sinning. I have the teachers at school hating me, saying that you're a liar. I have my friends at school saying, I can't believe that you lied about, you know, all the things, right? So every single aspect of my life, this is being reinforced.
And we're not even really right now talking about what was going on at home as a result of the fact that you told the secret.
Yeah.
Which was horrible in its own right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is how Church Me was born.
Yeah, it wasn't really until probably eighth grade. So like a good 6 months of just being a shell. I don't really, there's not a lot of memory of the bright world in those 6 months from like the time of disclosure through like the next school year. It might even be more than 6 months. I don't math. I don't really know, like, I don't know.
The timeline is not clear. We've not unpacked the timeline with great specificity because, frankly, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't have
for whatever a lot of, like, period of time, right?
Yeah, like bright world memories. Like, what was I doing? I really don't know. I pretty much like spent my days in the dark world, and you know, just that was it. But in eighth grade, I became friends with somebody at school who was kind of like a project to, she invited me to go to this like Christian conference, and I went, and that is where Church Me was born. So this idea that like, if I could just do it right again, which was reinforced by, again, this biblical counselor, right? So this idea of like, well, if you can just like read your Bible every day and, you know, pray a lot and forgive, then you are going to be fine in life. You know, forget all the trauma, forget the reality of what happened.
None of that matters. The only thing that matters is moving forward.
Exactly. And so then at this conference, that wasn't exactly like reinforced, but that idea of like, okay, well, like everybody else seems to be doing fine and raising their hands to worship and writing in their prayer journal and all the things. And so I guess was it even a conscious choice? I don't know.
What was the option?
Right. Right.
You had tried the other way. You tried to leave. You tried to tell.
Right. Yeah. So then Church Me was born. And then I spent a lot of years just being perfect while also still having the dark world happening. It wasn't like, oh, I became Church Me and then the dark world stopped because I did it right. There was no right. There was no doing it right. There was no like, okay, I finally did it well enough, or I finally prayed enough, or I finally forgave enough, and so now the bad things are going to stop happening. That wasn't even on the table. It was just, yeah, it just continued.
I think anyone listening can get their head around, anyone who's really listening can get their head around the idea that you were trapped in this impossible situation, and whether it was a conscious decision or some part of you said, well, I'm here and I have to figure out how, if I can't leave and I can't get anyone to help me, I have to figure out how I'm going to at least function in this life that I have.
Yeah.
And so you did.
Yeah. Sort of.
Well, it didn't make the hard less hard.
Yeah. But all of that to say that I can personally attest to the fact that ACBC counseling and its fundamentals keep victims stuck. So whether it's a victim who is just stuck with trauma responses and stuck with not ever really dealing with it, right?
Right.
Just forgive, forget, and move the frig on, right?
Right.
Like that's the message. And so that keeps anyone stuck just in their own brain. But for me, it actually like literally kept me stuck. Right.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, because what else was I supposed to think? This like professional counselor was telling me these things. I'm 12 years old. Everybody around me is telling me these things. What else was I supposed to think?
Of course.
There was no questioning of it. It was just a fact.
Right.
So anyway, that's the episode.
Okay, so that's basically what the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors does to young people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and still is doing, right? Like, let's be very clear on that point as well, that we're not talking about something that happened. I'm 35 years old. I was 12 back then. I don't math, but that was a while ago. Not too long ago.
Not that long. I mean, not that long.
But my point is that, like, we're not even talking about something that happened, like, 20 years ago. Or it did happen 20 years ago, but it's also happening current day. This whole concept of forgive and forget, move on, never think of it, never bring it up, never talk to anybody about it, definitely never bring it up to the offender, is still in their current day training materials. So, and Kevin Backus, who's a named offender, is still going around the country teaching these fundamentals to other counselors. So they're breeding, y'all. They're literally still breeding counselors who are teaching these things. Like, good Lord.
We should be appalled by that.
Yeah.
Feel free to share your experiences with us.
Yes, absolutely. Feel free to share your experiences with us. We want to know. We want to hear from the survivors out there who are still trying to grapple with this aftermath and this reality. So, awesome.
Okay. Stay tuned. If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888. Or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.
For the love of God, I'm begging you, Rich, I'm pleading with you because you're a dad and because you do deal with this stuff. Please don't make it worse.
It is already unbearable. It is already every day of my life. Please don't make it worse.